Goodness, sheesh, for being here with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Typically, we celebrate Father's Day by giving Dad a new necktie or a brand new cordless drill, maybe a special dinner to mark the occasion. But rarely do we celebrate the role fathers have played throughout human history. But perhaps we can look to some of Alaska's native cultures to learn more about those traditions. Last year, I sat down with Lyle and Colleen James, who are well known for sharing their love of Southeast Alaska Native cultures with the community at large. And this year, once again, Lyle is overseeing Gold Belt Heritage Foundation's Culture Camp, a job that his father had. Colleen has been a force for cultural healing in the community through her work at the University of Alaska Southeast. They are truly a pair in which one completes the other and an inspiration to talk with. It's so nice to have the both of you here to sit and have a conversation. So it would be great if you could introduce yourselves in the traditional Tlingit way.
My name is Keith Leish. I am Eagle Wolf, Kagwantan, and my in-laws are the Kanakadi and Kanhada. And then my father's people are the Kiksadi Raven Frog. And I said thank you for listening.
Yes, na khatati gana khari ka getlang gan hada ekhat gnskish to the Kagwantan, my father's people and my in-laws, and gnskish to the brown bear people, the Takwadi, the Simshian, the Irish, the English, and the Haida, my grandfather's people, and special thank you to the black community. Sons come from that community. And while we're talking about shout outs, also to the Hawaiian and the Filipino communities who are also my in-laws. So gnalchish. My Tlingit name is Dach Kilt'ach. It comes from the head of the Nass River. I am Tlingit and Simshian, following my mother's lines. We follow our mother's lines. We're matrilineal. On my Tlingit, I identify as Gana Khadi, and then through my Simshian lines, the Gunhada, and both are raven starfish, and thank you for hearing our words.
Trying to think about a typical introduction from a non-native to someone else. They would start with their name, but they would rarely mention their parents. And then the next thing they might say is, I work for such and such, and I'm such and such. But in the Tlingit culture and other native cultures, you never start from yourself, really, but you start with your ancestors. What's the thinking behind that?
Before we go any further, I do want to invite Lyle to do a land acknowledgement.
Yeah. Tessa Anya, yeah. A kiss goes as to Anya, yeah. Yes, take a duck con. A tangled cheese, a quad, ya nickel. Yeah. Who's gonna who the idea to gain elk up to Tani? I wanted to say, goodness cheese for their gentle reminder. We are on Akquan land. And thank you to the Akquan people for allowing us to gather to be able to speak on their land.
And with the land comes many stories and many ways of being. So going back to that question, what do you find so special about being able to introduce yourself first by explaining your heritage to those you meet?
So I'm not speaking on behalf of the Tlingit or the Simshian, but as I'm understanding our culture, for me, because we do follow the matrilineal, because we do follow our mother's lines, we have that opportunity to lift our opposites, our father's people, our grandfather's people. It's a way of acknowledging our loved ones. And also when we're introducing ourselves, then people know who our families are, what community we come from. There's no mystery there. And also, traditionally, we didn't do a traditional introduction. If we had done it traditional style, it would have been me introducing my husband and my husband introducing me. But we're still learning. We're still practicing. My husband has no problem introducing me, but because he's not trying to shame me because I'm still learning the language, he is being gracious and making it so that I don't embarrass myself. So I just want to say gunshish to my husband while I'm still learning the language. Coming back to your question about the introduction, it lets everyone in the room know who we're related to. It lets everyone who's within earshot know how they're related to us. Usually when you know that you're looking at a relative, then that whole mystery and fear of the unknown disappears because you're standing in the same room or space as your relative. And so I think that's really beautiful because it also allows for the opportunity to have a conversation, to reminisce, to storytell, to share information about your family or your clan. I think that's so beautiful because you're less likely to hurt each other. If you know your grandparents, people are standing right here before you. What do you think?
Jeez. Ega, that was all true. It is a current concept to be able to introduce ourselves. And some of the elders would say, it wasn't until about 100 years ago that we had to start introducing ourselves. It started out as, oh, they're bragging about themselves, to, oh, that's how they're related to me, or that's how I'm related to them. And everything that we do now it's a way of showing pride of who we're related to. And that idea to introduce ourselves and acknowledge our father's people is always there now.
It's almost as if in our modern world, the idea behind it is that we are who we are because of just ourselves. It doesn't acknowledge mm-hmm. the people that came before us. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, we're alive because somebody survived, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't ever acknowledge that. Tlingit way, the native way of acknowledging your ancestors is a beautiful tradition. And I guess we're here today to talk about Father's Day and in the context of the Tlingit culture. Mm. And it seems like maybe a good way to start would be to talk about your own fathers. Colleen, you want to go first?
Sure. So my dad is a proud Tsimshian Air Force Vietnam veteran. He grew up in Metlakatla and then went on to SJ or Sheldon Jackson. And then once he graduated, he went into the military, the Air Force. I think he did three years and then came out. Met my mom, worked for Alaska Airlines. My mom is pretty special, but we're talking about Father's Day. So my dad, he met my mom, they got married, they had me. And I think what's really special about my dad is that his story, like his brothers and sisters, you know, it's got some adversity in there. And to know that they had the conversation before they even committed to each other to change what kind of life they were going to have with each other based on what they experienced in their childhood. you know, I don't want to go into too much detail other than there was adversity. There's the alcoholism, boarding school, there's racism, there's the shame that came with colonialism that impacted our great-great-grandparents and our great-grandparents and our grandparents. And to know that my parents together, they worked together to interrupt those cycles. So I grew up with a super dad, a protector. He is fun. He and my mom are retired in Anchorage and just creative, and everything that he didn't have in his childhood made sure that my mom and I had it in this time with him. It's pretty special. So he's a fisherman, a hunter, a provider, worked many years for the government, retired, and loves to travel. I think for at least the 17 years that you and I have been together, we've traveled almost every year with my family because our family loves to travel anyway. So my dad just worked on supporting my mom and I in the things that we love. He supports us in education. I work at the University of Alaska Southeast for 20 years now. You could find me in the Native Memorial Student Center. My parents didn't grow up in the culture with the language, singing and dancing. Lyle and I, we have a dance group, so that's pretty important to this story. But what was so brilliant about my dad and my mom is that they said, you know, we didn't have it, but we're going to make sure she has access to her identity.
But I think that's part of being a great parent, mm-hmm. is that you want your kids to have it better than you. And
right.
I guess if you start off and things are good, mm-hmm. they only get better. And I guess that's the power of family, right?
Right.
One generation building upon the next.
Yes. That's a really nice way of putting it. A solid foundation. My parents didn't come from a solid foundation, but I don't want that to reflect on our culture, because it wasn't until colonialism hit our people mm-hmm. that it interrupted our strong foundation. And I think my parents, they refused to let it be part of their foundation and opened up doors for me. I mean, I didn't know when I was a little kid that my husband and I would start a dance group. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Even though my parents didn't grow up with the language and they didn't grow up singing and dancing, they definitely knew how to open doors for me and for my family, and just being loving supports for us, I think, in our relationship, which has been really nice. I don't know any other kind of fatherhood or parenting, because I only have my dad and his experience and how he parented me, so I really can't speak to other people's experiences. I feel really fortunate, though, because I have heard other friends and family members who had different experiences with their dads, and so I feel like what a treasure that I have. And I've been able to share it with my husband and our children. Our kids think the world of their grandpa. You know, and they know no other way for a grandpa to be other than amazing. And so he set the bar pretty high.
Father's Day is for grandpas too, right?
Totally, yes.
And if you're lucky to have one, great-grandfathers.
Oh my gosh, yeah, thank you. Okay, so I'm getting all emotional. I'm going to turn over to Lyle.
What I love, memories that come from my father is all the training that he's done to make sure that the skill set that he had was something that I could enjoy, that we all could enjoy. It wasn't just for him, it was for my siblings and I. And it was for all the kids that he was able to work with. My father, what he loved to do was share his knowledge about subsistence and taught at a culture camp that I grew up in. And because of his love for sharing everything that he learned with us, I'm able to do that today. Share what I learned from him with my family. And that's something I will always treasure.
Well, love is never lost, is it really? Once planted as a seed, it has a way of growing. And, mm-hmm. and it sounds like now that you have kind of taken up the mantle of working with kids at camp through Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, that love continues. It flows through you to other children.
Yes.
So love is never wasted. No. So I'm curious, how is it, Lyle, that you learned to speak Tlingit so well?
I actually didn't learn Tlingit until I met Colleen. And when she had brought me to a class here at UAS in Juneau, started learning with her in a class with Florence Shakely. And I wanted to surprise my grandparents, who were still alive at the time, by going back home to speak Tlingit to them. And that's where it started. It was just when we first got together.
I thought your mom just shared on our ferry trip back from Huna, and you can correct me if I misheard, but I thought I understood that your grandparents in Huna, when you were a baby, would speak to you in the language. And then your grandpa Kelly, after he had a stroke, I thought that the part of his mind that allowed him to communicate was the part that was the Tlingit language. And am I misremembering?
No, that's correct. My great-grandfather spoke only Tlingit, and my great-grandmother as well. My great-grandmother was actually a dance group leader. Her name was Elsie Pratt, and her husband was Jacob Pratt Sr. And my great-grandfather, I was fortunate enough to be able to sit and listen to him and hear him tell stories in Tlingit. And the way my mom was describing it was is that he would be telling me stories and be animated when he told the stories, and that would make me laugh, and I would talk back. And then he would laugh because she said it sounded like we knew what we were talking about. Sharing old stories and memories together.
Well, those seeds were planted, and maybe it just took them a while to blossom until you met Colleen.
Maybe.
So help us out. Teach us some words in Tlingit. And maybe it would be good, since this is Father's Day, to talk about words surrounding fatherhood. Like, what is the Tlingit word for father?
For father in Tlingit, it's ish. There's just one word for father, and that I know of.
And that's part ish. Of your name.
It is. Chitlish is my Tlingit name.
So what does that translate into?
It means father of Chitli. And Chitli is actually a raven woman's name.
Interesting. But I think that name is very appropriate, given that here you are at a camp for young people, kind of fathering the next generation, sharing culture and language.
Or maybe more like an uncle.
Yeah.
I think that culture camps give an opportunity for uncles and aunties to step in into the roles that we used to before colonialism. It allows us aunties and uncles to step in and do the training. And maybe some families throughout Southeast still practice the traditional aunties are stepping in to parent and train, and uncles are stepping in to parent and train.
Do you think colonialism sort of caused the concept of fatherhood to shrink in Native cultures?
I think colonialism totally flipped fatherhood on its side, at least for Native people. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but if we're going back, if we're attempting to decolonize our experience today, then it means that we are honoring our fathers' people and we're inviting our men to step into roles that were there before contact, before colonialism, and that purpose of providing and teaching and helping raise nephews would be something beautiful. And what I think is so gorgeous about our culture, if we continue on this path of decolonizing, is that, for example, one of Lyle's clan brothers, Conrad Frank, is Kagwantan. He's not a dad, but because they're clan brothers, he's automatically an uncle to my daughter, to our kids. And if we could continue to decolonize, then we can continue to lift our family members, our clan members, and acknowledge them in a respectful way.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, though, that the whole world needs to be decolonized?
Yes.
In
yes.
some ways?
It's... Oh, my, yes.
Yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love our vehicles. I love our cell phones. But you know what? All of that would have been there. We come from intelligent people who had a complete holistic way of being intact.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And do we think colonialism undermines fatherhood? And I say, holy cow, toxic masculinity and mm-hmm. boys never cry and all of that BS. Oh my goodness. And in our culture, we know that we can cry. The men can cry. The men mm-hmm. and the women can mourn for a year, not just, okay, we're going to have the ceremony here. We'll do the funeral and then the burial, and that's it. And then you got to pull yourself together. Our people are so brilliant. We have a technology of love and support built into our way of grieving, where you get a year or more, and it's not just you by yourself. It's the whole clan that grieves with you, and it's the opposite clan who comes forward and holds you and provides for you and cares for you while you're grieving. There's no rushing that process. And in today's society, we get rushed. For an example, for work, I get one day of sick leave to attend a funeral. One day of sick leave. Can you believe that? If I want to go beyond that, if I'm like so heart-stricken, I have to turn in annual leave or I have to go get a doctor's. I mean, I'm not just talking about my job. I'm talking about just society in general. That's colonialism. And if we decolonize that and we recognize that people need to grieve, holy cow, mm-hmm. we might not have as many people in depression and abusing themselves through addiction. And
a lot of times when I've watched Native cultures carry out their traditions, I've often wondered if those traditions were traditions for the rest of the Western world, but industrialization came and time moved on and so a lot of ground was lost. So I'm often appreciative when I see these traditions in Native culture to remind us that we are human beings. Mm-hmm. And the roots of our humanity began mm-hmm. with the clans and the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going maybe far afield, but maybe back to the subject at hand, Lyle. When did you become a father, and how did being Tlingit, an Alaska Native, figure into that role of fatherhood?
17 years ago. We found out we were going to have our daughter, but even before then, I was practicing being a father, and to our stepson, my son, trying to figure it out how to parent not out of fear of making a mistake, stumbling like all the time, and loving how our sons would communicate with me and say, but that's not what I wanted to do. Why'd you say that? It's just simple things that help me grow as a father, and their patience with me and finding my path as a father that I wanted to be. So it's the patience that are in the grace that my wife and our boys and daughter gave to be able to help me grow as a father.
So did you draw on your culture for that?
Yeah. Thinking about our clan connections and my name, Chitli'ish, there is a family who has ties to my Tlingit name, Chitli'ish. And actually, we rode the ferry over with my namesake's daughter. And any time that she sees me, or her brother sees me, they say, Ish, Wasi Yati, how are you doing, Dad? When you hear that love, that unconditional love of, when you hear Ach Ish, that reminds me of the generations of Chitli Ishes that have been around. And the idea of our clan system, oh my. Anytime that you go anywhere in Southeast, and from now on, my wife's father's people will always be around her. The Kagwantans will always be there for her. And I know that the same thing is going to be for the Kanakhadi. Anywhere I go, I see them as my in-laws or my grandfather's people. And then, so the name Shtu Wuka is my father-in-law's Tlingit name. Mm-hmm. And there, what's beautiful is that Shtu Wuka was actually the one who helped bring our daughter into the world. And the names that we have within our cultures, our clans, it's like our ancestors are coming forward to help lift us.
So with clans, fatherhood kind of expands.
Mm-hmm. So when we stand up in front and we address anybody, for me, if I address anybody who is Kiksadi, I would say, Ach Ish Has Kiksadi. Or Ach Ish Has Yukkwad. To my father's people who are Raven Frog, or to my father's people who are Hawaiian. And that's in Tlingit introductions or acknowledgments, that would be appropriate.
So one of the things you do so well is tell stories that have been gifted to you. And I wondered today if you might gift us with a story that ties in with fatherhood, Father's Day.
There's a song that I composed not too long ago with Hone, Lance Twitchell. And we were out at Ock Rec one day, and it happened to be like 2 degrees out, and we were going into the ocean. And it happened to be kind of a rough start of a semester. And there was a bunch of things that were happening within our families.
So just so that people know, Lance Twitchell is a professor at the University of Alaska Southeast. He teaches Tlingit. So yes. So you and Lance were outside pondering going into the water?
We were preparing for going into the water. Yes.
In other words, you were going to go for a swim.
Yes.
And it was 2 degrees.
Yes.
Why?
So, a long time ago, my grandfather, my father's father, he said that anytime you need strength, go to the ocean. And it doesn't matter what time of year. You go to the ocean, you ask for that strength. He said, you know, and he tied the story with it. He said, you know that when you run along the shore and you see that tree that stands by itself, he said, you look at it and it almost looks like it's standing by itself. But when you look behind it, you'll see all the other trees that are standing there. He said, when you're looking at that tree, you can see how the waves are coming in and it's crashing at its feet, like it's taking the ground from underneath its feet. And you can see how the wind blows and it almost looks like it's going to be blowing over. But then you think about it. The roots of that tree are reaching out to the other trees and supporting each other. And that's what the ocean does for us, is it connects us, it strengthens us, it reminds us that whatever we're doing, we're never going to be alone. And that song that came to me was Ech Hinde Yantu At, we're going into the ocean. Our ancestors, we need strength. We need strength. Those are all the words to the song. And that's where that song comes from, is that story that my grandfather shared.
It would be nice to hear the song, if you don't mind.
Okay, usually we have a drum and a rattle, and we have a moment to harmonize. Okay.
She is such a better singer than I am. And.
Okay, yeah, we could do it.
Hey, 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 hey,
hey. Hey, 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 hey. I think to the fathers, to my dad, to all the men in your family, to all the men in my family, I just appreciate that we stand on their shoulders, which allows us to sit here and have this conversation with you. So happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to all those dads and all those single moms and grandmas and aunties and sisters who are stepping in to fill that role. Goodness, geez.
Yeah, for
Say the word for father again for me, Lyle.
Ish.
Ish, ish. Mm-hmm. What do you love about Lyle's role as an ish?
I think number one, just that humbleness. that I have a really wonderful dad, and I had hoped that when I grew up, I would find a partner who was amazing at providing and protecting like my dad did for my mom and I. And for Lyle, for you to step in as a step dad, which is not really something that's in our culture. There's no such thing as step. If you're stepping into that role, you are the dad. And I just appreciate your creating a safe, brave space for my sons to figure out how to be men and being consistent. And for enjoying adventure with all of us, and for showing our kids what it is to be a man and the sacrifices that you make for a family. I appreciate all of that, and I appreciate that you, if you don't have the answers, it's okay to say, I don't know, but let me try to figure out the answer with you. I think that's really important, that decolonizing and letting go of toxic masculinity. I just appreciate that. So,
Gunnel Cheesh.
Gunnel Cheesh, Lyle and Colleen James, for sharing your thoughts on Father's Day and much more. And when we come back, another big day coming up to mark this month, celebrating solstice Juno style.